It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not so humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, we bring you Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man? Bad news. The hail wasn't enough to get a new roof. I'm still going to be on the hook to pay for a new roof this next summer.
Well, let's do this up front then. We'll make sure we cover ourselves, if we not with roofs, at least with our promotional skills. That you can find this show on X. You can find us on, was it Mastodon, as well as Blue Sky. It is just Scotty Johnny Pod, at Scotty Johnny Pod. Any of those locations, you'll find us. You can find me personally at Not So Humble Host on X, and you can find me also then on Mastodon at Scotty Johnny, and on Blue Sky at J.E. Barnett. Aaron, where are you?
You can find me online, John, at Twitter Talk, at Twitter Talk on the X. And just so everyone knows, we record on Tuesday nights, and there's a fun storm rolling through the southern part of the state right now. So we're about half an hour behind taping because me and the family had to run to the basement.
Yeah, no good.
For the third time this year already, and it's only April 15th. Bring it on.
It's been a weird
and by everyone already. Run to the basement, the wife and kids run to the basement, and I run outside and look up.
Yeah, because you're a Midwest man. You're just like, I gotta go outside.
I gotta look at this thing.
I gotta see what's coming because I'll stop it. No, yeah. I don't know what we imagine. It's just kind of like, is there a storm coming? Let me go check it out.
I remember when we were kids, my dad was a storm chaser. He went through all the training, and I have as well later in life. But with Dave Dahl out of Channel 5 in the Twin Cities, come up and teach us storm chasing classes, and dad would we'd run around. He had an old CJ7 with a open top on it, which was perfect for storm chasing. And he had a bikini top for it that you could put on in just a few seconds to keep most of the hail from hitting you. Keep you from getting belted by the hail. And I remember a couple times we got close to a couple tornadoes. One time very close, and because of that, as a teenager driving from Turtle Lake to Barron, which was where I worked at community center as a lifeguard, this is small town to small town.
Yeah.
I don't expect anyone to know. If you know where Turtle Lake and Barron are, good job.
Huzzah.
And I was going down County Road D and it was a tornado warning. They said it on the radio. I pulled off to the side of the road because dad had taught me what to look for when there was tornadoes. I pulled off to the side of the road. And a tornado went directly over my head. Touchdown in the field just about a couple hundred yards past me, hit a pole barn, took its roof off, and then went back into the sky.
Jeez. Yeah.
And that was,
yeah.
And then just drive away. And you're wondering, is the farmer even home? And if he's not, he just came home and he's got a roof upside down in his front yard in a pole barn that has no roof.
Yeah. Man. Just wondering what's going on there. Yeah. By the way,
God didn't want that pole barn to be.
God hates your pole barn.
Pole barn. Bye.
Speaking of storm chasing, Aaron,
finger like this, just.
We'll mention too that apparently, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but they're remaking Twister, the movie.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's a sequel or if they're just remaking it. I assume they're just remaking it, right?
Yeah. You know what did we learn from Twister? Is that if you get a leather strap, you put around a well pipe. You hang on tight. An F5 can go directly over top of you and remove everything off the face of the earth, but you'll be okay.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten that lesson. I'm just going to go elsewhere.
No, that was the very end of the movie, remember? They're like upside down, like hanging onto the leather strap and then they're inside the tornado somehow. Everything else is gone, but they're strapped with a leather strap to the pipe, so they're not going anywhere. That'll save you.
That away.
Not the debris flying by them at 250 miles an hour that's conveniently missing them.
Remember that movie was kind of a big deal when it came out, and I don't think my kids know what it was. I mean, like
I love it. It's one of my favorites. You know,
I just haven't seen it in probably 20 years.
Paxton was in it with what's her name from
Holly Hunt. Callum Mad Hunt. About You.
Carrie Elwes was the bad guy meteorologist with all the money, and they and then one of the people that was.
I don't remember the other people in it. I remember them. That was when Mad About You was a really big show. And now, again, my kids couldn't name it. Just the way it goes, I guess.
Hold on. We can't get off this yet.
Oh, okay.
Not Twister 2024. Twister. Stop it. Twister, the old one. The one that matters.
Actual Twister.
The movie poster from Twister, John. Remember that one? Just where it was just like the dark background?
Yeah.
I still own that poster. It's somewhere downstairs.
Nice.
And so Philip Seymour Hoffman was also
That's right. Okay, yeah, I'm looking at this now.
Jamie Gertz, who quietly is a billionaire. She owns the Thrashers and numerous other teams. That was Bill Paxton's wife. Bill Paxton is dead. Bill Pullman isn't. Bill Paxton is Game Over Man, Game Over from Aliens. If you're getting the bills mixed up. Alan Ruck was also in it. And couple other character parts. So
there you go.
So
I love Carrie Elwes.
Princess Bride. That's it begins and ends with that. Oh, and Jake Busey, one of Busey's kids, is also in the movie. Okay. Well.
All right. Well, with that, let's roll right into the actual sports talk. Now we've gotten past tornadoes. Let's talk about everything else that's going on in Wisconsin sports wise. And we'll start with the segment that we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
So for the main event at this point, I guess we're going to start with Bucks and talk about their playoff, I guess, starting here. We're hoping to have a friend of the show, Pete, next week. We're efforting, as they say. But, you know, obviously he's not going to be here to get us into these. We're going to have a couple games before we come back next week. Bucks will start playing on Saturday, on the 20th. And they got the Pacers, which is... I'm trying to decide if that I like that more than playing the Heat or less. And I think I like it less. Because the Bucks have definitely had the Pacers number for years now. And not this year at all. Like the Pacers
early in the season, it was bad.
Murdered us. They won 4 out of 5 games this year.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that'll win the series, John.
Well, yeah, that would be the series. The Bucks won the one game on December 13th, and they lost November 9th, December 7th, January 1st, and January 3rd. They lost all. So they haven't played in a while. Like these are different teams than the teams that were playing then. In several ways, especially the Bucks added several people. They've got Beverly. They fired a coach. They trade away Robin Lopez. They all the things that had happened.
Well, and Halliburton at the time was looking like he was going to be a legit MVP candidate, and he's cooled off a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a Halliburton aficionado, but it doesn't seem like he's been as much in the conversation recently. So
no, that's true. He finishes 10.9 assists per game, 20.1 points a game. He's a 20-10 player. I don't know. I don't have any feel on this team that feels good. There's nothing about this team that makes me confident. Giannis still not back from what the strain. It was just a muscle strain. Everything came back negative on the MRI, at least. No Achilles tear, no weird whatever's going on there, but
it's still not good when a guy who has a massive tolerance for pain
just drops,
just stops walking. Like non-contact injuries are scarier than contact. Like when Joe Theismann got broken in half by Lawrence Taylor, you knew what was wrong.
Exactly what was wrong. And so did Taylor right away because he jumped up and started waving for people to come save Joe's life.
Lance Taylor just murdered Joe Theismann in the middle of the field on Monday Night Football. We'll
he freaked out too. Freaking out.
I'm making light of it now because it's 40 years later
and everybody's safe now. But yeah,
yeah, Or when that poor kid from Louisville came down from shooting a three and his leg snapped in half on national television.
Yeah.
And then they showed it one time and then they went, oh my God, we're so sorry for replaying that. It was like, because it was just a right angle. I mean, those non-contact injuries, man, are scary because it's like, what made you do that? Teddy Bridgewater from the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, just in practice, no hit.
Almost lost his lower leg.
Yeah, it's just
weird. It's by planting wrong, and I thank God he salvaged a career out of it. But yeah, those non-con, as soon as you saw that, and it wasn't like Rodgers, because we got to see it in full display earlier this year with Rodgers and
Cousins,
who there's something weird about their leg, like the toe isn't working. Did you notice that? Like in both of those, like because when the Achilles, your foot just flops around, right? Mm-hmm. And so Giannis was like, that was so weird. It was just weird to watch. Like,
well, and you watch the ones with Kirk and with Rodgers, who, gosh, she just can't stop saying things. With both of them, you watch suddenly that calf pull straight up to the top and just tense in a weird way. You're like, whoop, nope, that's an Achilles. I mean, you can see the calf twitch. I didn't see anything here.
No, he so just stopped walking. I mean, that's almost like an over usage thing. Like, his, like they, what do they call that when I used to be in CrossFit?
kidney failure.
Something bosis or something like that. It was basically where your muscles would just start eating themselves because.
Yeah, Rambo.
So over. Yeah, Rambo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try and come up with that was. But yeah, no, it's just overexertion. And I mean, if there's anyone who overexerts themselves on this planet, it's Giannis, man. That dude works hard. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just all of that's. It's not great. So it's a muscle strain. And we're going to have to just wait and see on some of that and how that's going to go. But they're hopeful he'll be back at the beginning. This has, though, been just, I don't know. I don't have any confidence in them beating the Pacers. When we were healthy, we weren't beating the Pacers. The hope is that it's a different team now. They'll have the home advantage on this one. They are a much better team at home. Their defense is a lot better now. But if you don't have Giannis, there's no chance. The game against Oklahoma was just, I mean, Lillard wasn't in, and God bless them. The rest of those guys were really trying. But was it just awful? They started the second half, just Middleton was so frustrated because he scored, I think it was the first 11 points of the half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I was counting it just as the first 11. He made a couple free throws. And then finally, I think it was Portis got one. Portis or Beasley, I forget, to finally stop him from being the only guy scoring in a half of basketball. He was outscoring at that point. He was outscoring OKC like 11-6.
I was like, now, it shows off the depth that they've built, but the fact that, you know, the top four can't be on the court at any time together is ridiculous. Like,
it's hard.
I mean, in the team that we're rolling into Indianapolis with, without Giannis, it's an identityless team, especially since Dame has been Dame. I mean, he has Dame moments, but as was talked about with Stephen A. Smith and others on First Take the last couple days, that he's in a bad spot personally in his life. And he's talked about it publicly. Like, you know, like he's in a divorce. He's missing his kids. He's not in the place he wanted to end up in. I'm just saying, John, but I mean, that affects someone. Like if that's your superstar, like how much is he, you know, especially when it's like, all right, we brought you in to, you know, win this with the big guy, you know, like, and now it's just like, all right, here's the ball. Here's a bunch of guys and Chris might play. We're not sure. And then, I mean, and also
not
too,
robots.
Like, did he sign up to be with Doc Rivers?
Yeah.
Doc Rivers is a pretty polarizing figure. Regardless, I mean, like, maybe he doesn't want to play for Doc Rivers. I mean, you would thought that he would have been in the conversation on that, but I mean, the Doc's got a losing record in Milwaukee so far.
Well, we do have what's his name from the Browns now involved in ownership, so who knows what they're doing anymore? I don't know.
Haslam. Yeah. Got
Haslam.
It.
Yeah.
Pulled it. Good job. Pulled it together. Thank you. I thought you were talking about Aaron Rodgers.
No. No, he's the owner of the Jets.
He owns like 1%. But no, it's going to be interesting to see. So they got this week off here to get it together. And not only that, but OKC is on its way up. And OKC had a lot to play for, like the West number one. They ended up with the number one writer.
Well, I saw somebody was putting up today. They're like, is this the worst number one seed ever? I'm like, no.
Yeah, because it was tight at the end because the Timberwolves were number one like last
Thursday.
It's just
because you don't know them yet. But you're going to look back, you're like, man, that was the beginning of this team and a lot of these young guys.
And the Timberwolves ended up losing to the Suns in the last game, which makes them play the Suns in the first round, which is not a good matchup for them. It's the most Minnesota thing ever. They've been number one all year and they were rarely number two. And then they get into the playoffs at number three with the second best record in playoff history. But anyways, casual Timberwolves fan. I will tell everybody that. Anyways, I would love to see an I-94 NBA Finals. They would never let it happen, though. They would have referees pulling guns and shooting players on the court before that happened. Anyways.
Alex, I'd like to believe you're wrong.
But it's not zero. No, the Bucks are in a tough spot. Someone's going to have to step up. And the person who has to step up, I feel bad for, who's already stepped up all year long, is Bobby. Like,
yeah, he's played phenomenally this year.
He's supposed to be the sixth man of the year.
He ought
problem
to
is he's been starting more often than not recently. Yeah. Like, and he's great, but he's Bobby, and we know what Bobby is. Bobby is a crowd pleaser. He can get on a tear.
Yeah,
he can score 24 points in the first quarter once in a while.
Yeah,
but he's wildly inconsistent about his scoring. Like, and that's kind of the knock on him. But that's also what makes him a great bench player. Like, he has periods where he's just unbelievable. I don't know if you can trust him for a whole game to put up those kind of stats. Like, you can start him, sure, go ahead, but that'd be your emergency one. The problem is, though, you've also got Lopez, who we relied on when Giannis got hurt before in the playoffs.
Yep.
He's 3 years older, man. Yep. Like, I don't know if he can do White Shaq anymore. And, you know, and now you can't fall back on Drew. I mean, it's like, that's the problem with depth. Like, as you lose those players, and is Chris going to be able to play the whole time? I don't know. Like, I think if you just lose Giannis and you could roll out the other four, you got a chance, especially in the first round, especially against Indianapolis. They'd probably match up well, especially if Drew can play like how Drew can play.
Yeah, and if we could get Beasley to get on point again for a bit here, we could be in a good spot. I think Bobby, you know what you're getting. I think Chris is going to be okay, and Dan's going to put up what he can. I'm worried that I don't know that the defense is actually as good as what it ends up turning into most of the time. They look still frantic. They're not getting good rebounds. They're giving. I mean, like that OKC game, they were just taking the ball from us. Like the rebounds were hitting the floor because nobody knew who was supposed to be where or get to the ball, and it was awkward and terrible looking. Like they don't look like this is not the way you should be this late in the season. I'm at the point that I just 100% think they should have just stuck with where they were in coaching. I don't know why they made. I mean, like the change was absolute desperation, and you should not make massive moves out of desperation.
No, 100% no. Like if it's the point that you think that the players are just running the team, then you're just better off having players run the team. Like
finish the season. Whatever it was, because they're not better.
Yeah, Phil Jackson was not available, and what's his name is still down in Miami.
Yeah.
So you can't – Nick Nurse, no. I mean, it was just not – nothing was feasible. So, like – and if you're going to go ahead and fire Bud, I mean, like we – by the beginning of next year, they will have four coaches on payroll.
Yeah. We'll see.
I still think they'll win the series. Like, let's not bury the lead here. I do think that they'll win. I think they'll beat Indianapolis. I don't know about beyond that, though.
I'm not convinced on this yet. I mean, maybe. Give me this, then. What are the reasons you think they beat Indianapolis right now?
Because I think that they'll rally together long enough, and I do believe that Doc was holding enough veterans out to get them healthy for the playoffs. He does have a history of that in the past, so maybe that's the reason why we didn't see players in games.
True.
And it was either we got Indiana or who was number two, the number sevens. Oh, it's a playoff. It'd be a playoff game this week.
Yeah, play-ins are going on as we speak. Lakers already beat Pelicans. Right now, the Kings are on top of the Warriors, and these are, I believe, the 7-8 games.
Of course, the Lakers.
No, I'm sorry. That's the 9-10 game is the Warriors-Kings. So this is just the West. So Lakers win the 7-8 game, so they're in. They secure it. And then the Pelicans will get a chance to play whoever wins this one. So the Kings or Warriors will have to play the Pelicans. And then let's just see. Tomorrow will be the West games, I believe, here. Or the East games, pardon me. So that'll be the 7th, 8th will be Heat versus Sixers. Winner gets to play the 2 seed. And then the other one is Hawks versus Bulls for a chance to at least stay alive for
Heat Sixers, man. Maybe we did dodge a bullet on that one.
See, yeah,
I don't want to play the Heat, and I don't necessarily want to play the Sixers either.
I don't mind the Sixers, but I think the Heat are going to beat them. I don't know. That's my initial thought. I just think the Heat are going to. They've got enough ways of knowing what to do at this moment. They're better coached. They've got better top end talent. Embiid is great, and I don't know what else they
got. The Heat may or may not win. Yeah, but if they were to play the Bucks, they would win.
Yes, they would. This is true. If they could just start with the Bucks,
Spoelstra wasn't available. That was the other one. I was like, if we get Spoelstra on the Bucks right now.
If he ever becomes available again, you should fire whoever you have and go get him because he's been great. But yeah, so it's going to be one of those, that group there playing the 1 and the 2. So the Bucks won't start till Saturday. And we'll see how that all rolls out. This should be, it'll be interesting. I don't know. The other thing that came up, and this is the total ESPN just constant feeling that everybody has to think about sports in the way that a programming manager thinks about sports. Windhorst gets up and says, if the Bucks go out in the first round again, he doesn't know where Giannis will play next year. And the answer is Milwaukee. Like, are you dumb? Like, what are you talking about? He'll be playing in Milwaukee. Gosh. So tired of that. Like they have been spending every day.
If you want to talk about any other player on the team, I'm all ears. Like I just brought up Dame earlier. You know, like I don't know if Dame's going to be on this team next year.
Yeah, they're. I mean,
the one person I know who will be on the team next year is Giannis.
Yeah, because they would have to work out some kind of trade, and you're not going to get enough for him.
Yeah.
I get so tired.
He's not going to go to a team that has a chance at a first overall pick.
No. Here's what we do know is that Dame will be on whatever team LeBron and LeBron Jr. will be on. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
And LeBron will make it happen. And the league will somehow find a way to make it work with all the numbers. And it'll definitely happen. That's what's going to happen.
That's why I was like, oh, surprise, the Lakers won. Oh, no way.
Maybe they'll just, the Lakers will get him somehow magically because, I mean, I don't know that he's that well hyped other than being LeBron's son, because he didn't put up massive numbers. He didn't do anything in the tournament. That team wasn't that good. But he is LeBron's son. He is at USC because he already lives in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just kind of keep him all there. I think, I don't know. It'll happen.
They'll make it happen. If I was one of the top drafters in the next year's draft, I'd take Bronny like number 2 overall.
Yeah,
and then just hold the Lakers hostage. How much do you want? How much do you want? Hey, before we get out of basketball, though, I was reminded again today as we're getting into the playoffs right now, even though the Bucks have been good in recent years, rarely do we get national games. But you remember the who wrote that song, John?
Oof, John Tesh.
John Tesh, you nailed it. It's called Round Ball Rock.
I thought that was Heart of the Champ. I got the heart of the champion.
It's called I think it's called Round Ball Rock. But either way, okay. There's a great video every year around playoff times. It's there's a video of him at Red Rocks performing. Yes, John Tesh is big enough to be at Red Rocks performing that song. It's either Round Ball Rock or Hard Round Ball Rock or something like that. I see you looking up something.
Yeah, because I swear there's words to that. Oh, geez. It's like. Yeah, but it wants you to go to like the Nelly one, but I'm like, no, that's not it. Right, at some point, I'm going to find that one.
Google. I am Google God. We all know that. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's called the words include like got the heart of a champion. I'm on. It's like on and on like that. It goes. It's crazy. But there are words to that song, so
it is Round Ball Rock, John. Here we go.
Do you have the lyrics?
Give me a second here. I'm working it.
This is fantastic. Yeah. This is what happens when the Bucks are awful and we don't want to go.
They're not yet. Awful, John. They're not awful.
They're not the worst.
They're in a tough spot. Tough spot. Song was made composed in 1995. Wow. We were still in high school when that came out.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that
one of those lightning bolt moments. Oh man.
I really think that just on a quick scroll here that lyrics were put to that song
by
numerous folks. Because I remember the morning show that we do not talk about that I listened to out of the Twin Cities had the blah 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 basketball. Gimme those stats and those things that go with it. And it was Meat Sauce singing it. So it was they used to use it and they don't anymore, but I think that someone put lyrics to it because like when I watched the video the whole way through from Red Rocks, like there's no, he starts out on stage like he's bouncing a basketball and it's just a kick drum, just tunk 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 tunk, or a bass drum tunk tunk tunk. He starts bouncing it faster and like everybody like it, and it's very John Tesh-y. Oh my god.
Oh yes,
he's like Yanni with a beard. Except he was on Entertainment Tonight, so he's more likable.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do...
Where have we gone?
I don't know.
We're not even in the abyss yet. We're treating it like the abyss.
It's getting there. We got the Brewers who... Oh, yes. They've still been fairly good. They are the third highest run-scoring team in the National League right now.
Love it. Love it.
And, I mean, like, it didn't translate to wins yesterday and today. Well, now it's three straight losses, but they have scored three runs in every single game.
That's amazing.
Three runs at minimum. Like they lost the last two, 3-7 and 3-6. You score three runs, you're in the game. The big problem is Wade Miley today gets hit first inning, ends up having a 4-run inning and then exiting in the third.
He was having a rough inning before that. He took the shot to the leg and the next pitch was a 3-run shot.
Yeah.
So that's never good. That's like your MLB The Show moment right there. It's like, got it. Whacked by a pitch. Okay, got this. Boom. Done.
They'll make that one of those MLB The Show, like the moments you have to do, like hit pitcher with your pitch. It's like, what? How do I hit him? Like, they're like, you failed. You'll be doing that for 30 days.
Yeah, MLB 24, it's almost impossible to bean somebody anymore now. They PC'd up that game too much.
They're taking it out.
When my righty throws a slider at a left-handed batter's face, it better hit his face.
If any of you like the MLB The Show stuff, you should go to YouTube and look up the Listeroid Daddy Hack the Third videos, because they are clever. They're not for your children, but they are fun. It's just amazing stuff. The one I always make is a guy, cause you can change like the length of legs and spines and stuff. So I always make a very short legged guy with a big beard and a mullet, gray hair too. And, we went through looking at the names it will pronounce for you. It has a lot of nicknames. So I make him pronounce the announcers call him Candyman Fatty. Cause those are names you can use that it knows how to say that are programmed into the game. So my player's name is Candyman Fatty. Mm. You can write whatever you want. Every time he comes up the bat, they'll say, Candyman Fatty coming in.
I guess I hadn't bought, I guess, so I just bought 24 here.
Yeah, I just got it.
I hadn't played, I went back and looked, and the last one I played was 19, and they were just starting to mess around with, like, the spine lengthening and stuff like that. They had face recognition and stuff like that. You could paint your face onto somebody, which is weird, so I don't do that. But no, so my guy's name is Holden Ace.
Okay.
Which the way that they say Holden Ace sounds different than Holden Ace.
Okay.
So I had fun with that one. Yeah.
There you go.
Good time. He won't believe this, John. He's a starting pitcher for the Brewers.
There you go. We could use some more of that.
Yeah.
Colin Ray has looked very good in three starts. We'll say that he and Corbin Burnes got to go together Sunday. And the Brewers actually had a very good strategy coming out at Burnes. It was 3-3 when he and Ray both left. Neither figured in the decision. And then, yeah, the Brewers get up 4-3 and then give up two runs. And then, you know, it makes it 4-5. And then I'll tell you, I don't like the way that Milner has looked this year. He is not hitting his spots just yet.
Mm-hmm.
It might be worth sending him down AAA and just let him just tinker around for a bit, because he doesn't have it right now. You don't want to break mm-hmm. this kid. You need that left hand. He's got that weird, crazy delivery that just makes it harder to find the ball. But everybody's seeing him right now. He's getting up three home runs and is it five appearances or four at this point? He's not hitting his spots and he's leaving them up there. Driven out of the park three times though. That's been rough to see. But here's another one of the bright spots. I mean, like we're talking about, like this is a good hitting team. They're getting on base. Even with Yelich out the last several days, they continue to put up runs. Contreras is on a 12-game hit streak.
Checks out.
He gets a hit again today. He went 1-for-4 in the 3-6 loss. Goes 1-for-4, which continues the hit streak. 12 straight games for Contreras. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. For a catcher, I don't know. I want to find out what is the record for hit streaks by a catcher.
Piazza probably has like a 35 gamer somewhere in there. Yeah, him or Pudge or Yogi.
Oh, Yogi would be a good one too.
Lombardi. No. There was a catcher named Lombardi back in the 50s. He was slow as H, but he had just an unbelievable batting average. Lombardo, maybe? Not Lombardi. No. Maybe Lombardo, not Lombardi. But anyways.
I think it's Benito Santiago.
No, that also checks out too.
I'm double checking here. I think they said, what was this? I found some story, but it's trying to make me pay for things. So I'm like, no, I don't remember this.
No, I don't want to pay for things.
I don't want to do that. Longest hitting streak in Padres history. Remains the longest hitting streak in Padres history. Second longest is 27 by John Flaherty and Tony Gwynn's 25-game hit streak. Where was it? Oral history. He hit in 34 straight games. I love Benny Santiago. He was fantastic. I had a bunch of his cards.
He had that weird stance.
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players. I loved catchers a lot growing up. Catchers and mm-hmm. center fielders. Santiago was one of my favorites with the Padres. I'm trying to think who else is. I liked having, you know, when BJ Surhoff was a Brewers catcher and then moved up to the infield more. And then he went off to the Orioles, which is what Brewers players do when they get too good. they go to the Orioles.
Was it Terry Steinbach who was with the A's? Was Canseco and McGuire?
McGuire and Dave Parker was on that A's team.
Was the big three were the catcher, McGuire, and Canseco.
Yeah. This is just an episode where we are just looking up random sports facts.
Oh, Yachty. Not Yachty. Buster Posey might have been.
Terry Steinbach. Yeah, look at that. Steinbach, then McGuire batting second. Gallego, mm-hmm. Bordick, Riles, Ricky Henderson, Dave Henderson, Jose Canseco, and Harold Baines. Man, that team just disgusting to look at. How good that
is. Okay. So
Lance Blankenship on the bench.
Baseball reference. Here's the one that you missed, John. Johnny Bench is the best catcher of all time, and that's not even close. That's number one.
What did he? What was his hit streak?
I wasn't going with hit streak. I was just going with people we could have went with.
Oh, so, I was just going with hit longest hit streak for Benito Santiago.
But other people we could search out. So, but yeah, MLB reference has Johnny Bench, Berra,
yeah,
Gary Carter. Gary Carter.
Gary Carter was great. He has a book series called Iron Mask, which I read when I was in middle school as well.
Dead Too Young, Bill Dickey. Boy, that's someone I've never heard of before, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
There we go. There's a couple of them.
That is a Yankee. He was mid-40s. Carlton Fisk.
Oh, I love Carl. Red Sox, White Sox.
Gabby Harnett. All right, now we're starting to dive deep. Joe Mauer. That could have been another high. That dude didn't smoke a lot of home runs, but he had a whole bunch of hits.
Yeah.
Piazza, as we said.
Yeah.
Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. Ted Simmons. Former Brewer Ted Simmons. Correct. Also, well, good hitting.
Yep.
Still with us, by the way.
Yeah. He was in Hall of Fame 3 years ago. It was not that long. It was fairly recent, actually.
That's right. 2020. Yep.
Boom. Four.
Veterans Committee. So.
Yep.
Yeah. So there we are.
All right. So we've got good hitting, catching. We've got good defense being played out there. Adama's still hitting pretty well for the most part. So we like seeing that. He can be a little streaky as things go. He definitely lit into the Orioles this last week, and it was amazing. I loved every bit of it. He went full, as they were saying, to full Carlos Gomez. Took issue with, I don't even know what was said. Him and the catcher got into it, and benches cleared at the Orioles game. So that was fun. Churio becomes the third youngest player to hit 3 home runs in their first 13 games.
Very nice.
Like, that's such a weird stat to have, but it's true. So I was like, that's fun. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, they're all right. They're in the midst of 3-game losing streak here. I'm not going to freak out about it yet. Again, keeping our expectations low, or, you know, just being excited about what can happen with this team. I like what they look like. And having to see, you know, Joey Weimer and the other infielder we just brought up, Owen.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah, bringing them back up this early on here. I don't know. I'd like to see Weimer get some more time in AAA because he needs to kind of figure out some of his hitting. His fielding is still phenomenal. He just does need to work on that swing. He's got a big, weird look. Like, that bat never looks right in his hands. Like, it looks kind of small. Like, what's he doing? Because he's a big, tall guy. So,
a big man.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, he's got to get a better feel for how to hit big league pitching before he comes back up and stays here for long. Yelich, I mean, having a back injury, that's going to be rough, and we'll see how long it goes here.
Which stinks because it looks like he was back.
Yeah, back until the back until came the back.
Until baby got back.
Yeah. So one more game against the Padres, who, by the way, are the highest scoring team in the National League. They have more runs than the Dodgers.
Oh, right. I'm not even doesn't surprise me. The Padres aren't what they were a couple years ago when they were built up for that big World Series run, but I mean, they still got Machado and Tatis, and Tatis is just coming into his prime.
Yeah, they got some boppers. I mean, like, they can
hit. Yeah, Fernando Tatis might be the best player in baseball. Sorry.
I don't know about that. But.
Sorry, I said it. I mean, like, except the other guy can just hit right now. Can't do anything else.
Tatis is the best player in baseball?
I don't know. He might be. Him and Vlad Jr.
I don't know what. I'm trying to see what he's doing right now. He's batting .299. 98 OPS. He went 3-for-4 today.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to see who else they added on this team. Yeah, they got Bogarts playing second now. Yeah, they got a couple of things. Profar played pretty well today, too.
Tatis Jr., Bichette Jr., and Vlad Jr., man, they're all really good. Like,
yeah.
they're all going to be good. And I think Tatis, man, like, when he hits, like, he hits hard. that's the other thing about him. Like, I'm just saying, like, I'm not, this is not a shot at our team either or other players.
No, I'll tell you that.
Like, but I mean, like, especially with Ohtani right now, like, unable to pitch, he's just a $700 million DH. You know, like, he's anything but a five-tool player. And to think that he ever comes back from Tommy John to be anything that he was, you know, that's an ask. You know, it's like Drew from Drew and KB down the Twin Cities. Oh, okay. Drew, the journalist. Drew says, you know, there's two kinds of pitchers that have blown their elbows out or blown their arms out, and those who are going to blow their arms out. So, yeah. Like, I mean, that's why I say, you know, it's like, it's you know, at one point, Yelich was the best player in baseball, and that's without hyperbole. There was
an MVP. So, yeah.
It, moving target. You can't just say one person is or one person isn't. And I really think that Tatis is, like, honestly, like, him and Vlad Jr. are going to be great. Like, Trout's kind of past his window now, even though it's, or has he, or just we don't know because you never hear anything from the Angels.
Right.
So, right. You know, so, I mean, no, it doesn't surprise me the Padres. Like, I hate them. I really do. That's like a 4-year-old grudge now.
They're a hateable team, that's for sure.
Yeah, they are. But I would love to live in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. I'm good where I am.
It's that Louis Black bit. The easiest job on earth, being the weatherman in San Diego, California. What's the weather going to be tomorrow, Lou? Nice.
Nice. Back to you.
Back to you.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we got in the Brewers right now. They're still tied at the top of the division, but it's a three-way tie, and they'll get a chance to kind of separate themselves if they want to in the next week here. They're tied with the Pirates and the Cubs. The Pirates played two more games and split them, so they're technically kind of third place because they have a lower winning percentage. But the Cubs and the Brewers both 10-6 at this point. Brewers will get to play the Cardinals and Pirates here after this, and they'll be on the road for those. So that'll be their chance to kind of sort out who they are in the division, and they better win those because then they're gonna get the Yankees at home, and that's gonna be rough. That team looks really good.
I really do think that the Pirates thing is just flash in the pan because it kind of was last year too, if you remember. So
yeah, we'll see. I mean, they've been. I don't know. You start from scratch and try to build a young team over again. Sometimes it works, and sometimes you do it 3 and 4 times before anything happens, really. Oh, crap, they're all bad. We're injured, or something happened. I don't know. So things, we'll see. They were the hardest looking one of the group that we were seeing because I think the Cardinals started building up a good just core of hitters again. They needed to work in their pitching. They went and addressed some of that, but they're still a losing team right now. So that hasn't helped them a lot this year so far. It's early. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then the other thing is just, I think the Cubs had some good young talent, traded away big names before their prime ended and got a good amount for them. The Reds, I think, are a good young team with a lot of players there who are going to be interesting. Like we said with Wendy last week, I think the NL Central is set up to be very good for the next 5 years. So that'll be interesting to see.
Guns, I've got guns. Oh, I was so surprised. Were you surprised? I was surprised.
I was so surprised.
I'm so surprised. Hey, by the way, me and Andrew's going to get his first front row experience to the Yank on Sunday, April 28th. We're going to be right down the first baseline front row against the Yankees. So.
Nice. Well, that'll be fun. You can see a lot of big names against the Yankees.
No, and actually that whole week with the Pirates, like if I lived locally in Milwaukee, I might have just bought tickets that whole week. Like that 4-gamer against the Pirates and then 3 games against the Yankees. Come on, man. That's awesome. The Pirates thing being like a big deal for, you know, being a Brewers fan. And, you know, Brewers and Pirates have had a pretty decent rivalry. In the last couple of years, like the Brewers are really kind of beat the piss out of the Pirates, but for a while there, especially during the halcyon years of Craig Council, when it looked like we were going to win a World Series, the Pirates were a thorn in the side of the Brewers, man. They were like they sucked, and the Brewers would be on a, you know, winning 9 out of 10. They'd go into Pittsburgh and lose 3 straight games to a team that was starting a double-A baseball team.
True.
You know, like dead serious. Or no, even worse, they would come into Milwaukee and beat them 3 games. And then the Brewers would have to pick up the pieces and then go back out, and then they'd just beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 games. And, the, you know, it's just the Pirates, you know, the Brewers and Pirates have a pretty good history. Like, I wouldn't say rivalry, but it's because I guess it would involve the Pirates being good for more than 1 year at a time. So
they mostly kind of one or the other. It feels like, yeah, they've had a decent little rivalry just because I think the two fan bases get each other. And are similar in that they're very blue collar kind of fan bases.
Yeah.
Not like Cubs fans, you know.
West Pennsylvania and Milwaukee, man. We both sit in the shadows of Philadelphia and Chicago. So, but no, that'll be, I can't remember the last time I saw a Yankees game since I saw the Yankees play in Yankee Stadium in 2011.
Okay.
And Alex Rodriguez was playing for the Yankees at the time. And Jeets was still on out there too. And all I remember is that Alex Rodriguez playing long throw to warm up for the game. And he started at first base and the catcher was at home plate. By the time he was done, he was throwing all the way from the warning track to home plate without hitting the ground. He'd just back up like 3 steps every time he threw it back in.
Nice.
To start the game. And it was like, my God, that guy was, that guy was a machine. Like, it's just like,
all right. I guess really the only couple things I've got left.
I was going to say, what else do we have left?
I want to kind of bring up a couple things because we have been kind of lax in our draft prep coverage on stuff here. I'm going to tell you, I'm not as amped for this draft as I've been in past years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a lot of big time talent. I think the quarterbacks are the interesting part. And because there will be quarterbacks at the front end, and my goodness, there might be like 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. And I hope they're all taken before the Packers because we don't want any of these guys. I mean, I'll grant you, if Caleb Williams fell, you'd be interested in Caleb Williams.
If the Bears don't take him first overall, it's going to be, it won't affect the Packers back at 25, but it'll be a fun first day of the draft.
It would be hilarious. Yeah. It would be something to see. But, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to go. We're going to see May is going to go out of UNC. There's going to be some guys there. People talk about J.J. McCarthy maybe going to, like, the Vikings. And Vikings fans are very excited by that idea. And they're saying, well, then definitely J.J. McCarthy is going to light up the Packers for the next 20 years. You're like, okay.
What Vikings fans are conveniently overlooking, though, and I don't know how so right now the Vikings are looking in their heart of hearts, and all the big mock drafters right now are saying 1 through 4 are going to be quarterbacks, right? So they have to budge in there somewhere.
At least 1 through 3, and then probably Marvin Harrison somewhere there too.
Right, but are the Giants going to move up into that too, which they have a better draft capital of having a higher draft pick?
Yeah.
So Vikings fans, and I know this from listening to the NME station, they're willing to give up this year's 2 first-round draft picks and next year's first-round draft pick. What people don't realize from Minnesota, though, is that the Vikings don't have any draft picks in the 2nd or 3rd round this year, and they don't even have a draft pick until mid-4th round this year. And they already gave up next year's 2nd-round and 3rd-round picks to other things. So basically the Vikings will have no 1st, 2nd, or 3rd round picks outside of this quarterback for the next 2 years.
Yeah, they're fine
if they do that. And the smart Viking fan should go, well, maybe they should just go ahead and, I don't know, use their first-round draft picks to get, you know, probably someone good at 11 and then get Penix at 23. Because Penix has a lot of upside to him.
Yeah, you know? I think he's only what he is already, though. I don't know if he's going anywhere else.
I'm just saying, though,
yeah,
like, to give up the, I mean, I hope that's what they do. I really, really hope. I hope they trade everything, all their draft capitals. They're just because the talk in that town right now is, oh, well, next year we'll have tons and tons of free agents. We'll have tons of cap space so we can just sign free agents. And that's like, and but they're at the same time, they're like, but you build through the draft. So that's why you got to get good draft picks. And right now it's like, they're talking about like giving up all their first round draft picks till 2026. And I'm here for it. Like, just do it. And I hope the Bears trade out of all their good places. And it's awesome.
Bears have been doing a very good job picking the last several years. Same with the
Lions. I know, it pisses me off.
And we've been saying this. We've been saying the Bears and Lions have actually been doing very good jobs the last couple of years.
I know.
We'll see what they do.
But the one thing that the Lions do that pisses – sorry, I got to stop saying that word. That makes a lot of people mad is that they go and get the person that they want, even though they're drafting up from what that person should be at.
Yeah,
but it's paid off. It paid off with Hutchinson especially. And who was that? The guard that they got? Like they drafted him 50 places too early. Well, that's who we want.
Yeah. They had what? Sewell and some of those guys. I thought they got him exactly where they should be for most, especially Hutchinson.
But at the same time, but the counter argument to that is, well, if that's the person you want, then you spend that pick. You don't wait for them to fall to your pick. And I kind of feel like that's kind of what Gutekunst does, sort of.
Yeah. Sometimes he waits because he's like, there's three guys I'm okay with getting here. So I'll trade out of it, and one of them will still be there. And, you know, like, it's what's the value of the pick versus what you can get out of the player you want to get in this spot. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So well,
he's all looking for RAS score, too. So
that is also true. And there's basically, like, there's a few names we're seeing early in this draft. The big ones are the big three that I would most be content with are Cooper DeJean. He does not say Dujon or anything like that. It's Cooper DeJean from Iowa. Safety / slot corner type player. He can play anywhere. His RAS is crazy good. He's big-time athletic safety, and we need the safety help. So that's kind of one of those things where that fit seems so good. It looks like he's there, and every time I mock it, he's in most positions there. Some of the other names in that spot would be Grant Barton, who I'd be very happy with. He's a center out of Duke. Super smart center, great athleticism, very good on the reach, anchors well. He's a great center, and I do not, let me be very clear, do not like drafting interior offensive linemen first round. I don't like the idea of it. But him, and then there's also Jackson Powers Johnson, which sounds like a sentence of like a man movie. Johnson, yeah. Like, you know, like, hey man, what goes on? Well, in this movie, Jackson Powers Johnson. You're like, oh man, that sounds like I don't want to watch it. But anyhow, he's the center out of Oregon. Also big kid, good size, good mobility. Be interested in him there. Both of them could also play guard. So those are the big ones we're seeing first round, the type of people we're looking for here. And then second round gets more interesting. One of the big names I'm seeing there a lot is Edgerrin Cooper. And Edgerrin Cooper. If we don't go safety in the first round, Cameron Kitchens, the Miami safety, big hitter guy, could be coming down to the box or could play that deep zone safety kind of stuff that we see that Halfley likes to run. Those guys could be available there in that second round as well, and that could be interesting to look at because, you know, then you can get the safety there if you end up going guard in the first round. But the other ones too. Edgerrin Cooper is he's a linebacker. If anyone doesn't know, he does rush the passer very well, so he could be a good blitzing linebacker. He's got great athleticism. Tall as well, and seems to do pretty well, fairly instinctive in pass coverage. Another high-res safety that I'm seeing in this area, at least, is Peyton Wilson, and he's a North Carolina inside linebacker. Reads well. Edgerrin Cooper's biggest problem that I see with him is he seems to kind of hang, and I don't see that he necessarily makes the reads particularly well. One of the ones our in-house consultant, Joshua Barnett, talks about is Gray out of UNC as a more instinctive, well-read linebacker who understands the play breakdown better. He's probably going to be available third round yet, though, so let's see how that goes. Peyton Wilson, though, also high RAS, super athletic, good in coverage. My biggest problem is he doesn't get off blocks horribly well. He's a little undersized. You know, he's that 235-pound type of linebacker we get now. But huge res for both him and Cooper. One of the other, I guess, early round, second round, maybe that first pick of the second round kind of guy we're looking at is TJ Tampa out of Iowa State, and he's a cornerback. Yeah, so he could be an interesting guy up there in that front half. But these are all the things that we're kind of saying, guys that fit a lot of our needs that are interesting to see in these areas. I'm trying to think. There was another guard I was looking at, too, that could be interesting in this spot. That was Zach Frazier. He could be somebody. He's out of West Virginia. Also a center slash guard. A decent anchor and moves pretty well. So those guys could all be people who fit the biggest needs, which are we need to help our interior offensive line. You know, we lost a starter, and our center needs to be replaced. Even though Rob Domofsky said this last week that Zach Tom could be moving to center, and in which case we're going to need to find somebody who can go out there to right tackle and see what we can do with that. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, that could help the interior line. We'd still need to find another guard unless we really believe in Royce Newman, which I don't know, maybe. But we do need to add some linebacker help in here. We're going to need we're moving to 4-3, so having a coverage outside linebacker would be very good to have. Somebody who can get that high athleticism, who can get out there on tight ends, and let Quay stay in the middle of this 4-3 a little bit more. So that could be something we're looking at here. I do like the idea of going third, fourth kind of time frame, getting somebody like a Blake Corum or an Isaac Garendo. Isaac Garendo, former Wisconsin Badger, went to Louisville. Massive athleticism. He had some injury. He's a big track guy, really fast, good acceleration, home run hitter type guy, decent hands. Blake Corum, he's kind of the back of all trades. He's got good balance. He catches very well. He could play well within the system, I think. He's not massively explosive or overly fast, but he does all the little things right that you need to have to move chains in this offense. If we want to wait super late, Frank Gore Jr. is there. That would be funny. I don't know.
Well, you know he'll be on your team for the next 20 years. The whole time we've been talking, I've been looking for it, and I cannot for the life of me find it. Friend of the show, Andy Herman, posted a tweet like 2 days ago, and I cannot find it, where he had a scenario where the Packers could draft the best center, running back, linebacker, and one other with their draft picks because of how far those picks usually fall back.
Yeah.
So, center and running back were two of them. He's like, they get the best in the draft with these ones. And then of course, but Bukowski immediately disagreed with him. So that's like, wrong. It's like, hell, you know, hey, one plays the optimistic card, one doesn't. So
what I like to go at too is to try to give some people some ideas of people late round that would be interesting to look at, which I mean, you know, fourth or later kind of guys. Jalix Hunt, and I just like him. He's an edge out of Houston Christian. Massively athletic, bigger guy, could be a good edge in a 4-3. He could be very interesting out there. Edefuan Olofosio, pardon me, out of Washington.
You okay, man?
Yeah. Ed Olofosio, out of Washington, linebacker, smart guy, good play, plays well, good in coverage, be very interesting, might be there in the fifth or sixth. So he could be a guy who could come in and possibly get some good snaps, definitely be a valuable player to the team in a later round pick there at that linebacker spot. If you're looking for a late round quarterback, Sam Hartman as a late round quarterback is a guy I always enjoy having. He's on most of my mocks as like a late sixth round pick. Because he's there, he's thrown a lot of passes.
That's a kid with good flow from Notre Dame.
Before that, he was at Wake too. So he played the Badgers 2 years ago in the bowl game, if you remember. Mm-hmm. Good arm. Reads well. He's not massively athletic. He's not the best, but he could be a serviceable backup for a long time. And if you're drafting a sixth round quarterback, you just need somebody to make sure the offense can keep moving for a couple games if you need it. Some of the other guys who I've run into who I've really enjoyed so far are guys like Dylan McMahon He's a guard slash center out of North Carolina State. North Carolina State has produced some incredible offensive linemen last several years. High draft picks. This guy, super smart, has played a lot of football. He started a lot of games at center. All conference type guy. He's been there. I can't remember if he was an All-American as well. He's started a lot of games. His anchor could be a little better. We'll say that. But he also has great mobility, massively athletic player. And like I said, he's smart and knows the position. He could play guard or center. His snaps are very, very good. This is the reason I don't want Tanner Bordellini, because I've watched him play with Wisconsin. His snaps are inconsistent. He'd be a pretty decent guard, I think, but I don't know about him at center. McMahon could play guard or center. His snaps are incredibly consistent. I really like him as well.
And his ravioli sucks.
Yeah. Bordellini. But I will.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. 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 Eric Watts is going to be an interesting late round pick guy out of UConn. He's an edge player. He's like 270. Big guy. My problem is sometimes he over pursues down the line. So he needs to learn a little bit more, and he needs to be a little smarter with how he does things, but he could be interesting. Late round there. One of my other favorite guys, and he has got one of the best offensive lineman names, offensive tackle out of Wyoming, Frank Crum. C-R-U-M. Frank Crum. Like 6'7", 313. Decently athletic guy. Good feet. Moves well. He does get overextended on some of his run blocks and ends up kind of losing himself. But he's athletic. He's good with hands. He adjusts well. And he'd be interesting. He's going to be around like the 6th or 7th. Like he's a late round guy you can take a flyer on. He's not going to come in and be your star. I'm not giving you those names now, because if you want a star, you move up and you go get, you know, Alt out of Notre Dame, or you get Fashanu out of Washington. You get those guys, all right? But this guy is a guy who could be interesting, could be good depth, could be a guy you could train up and get ready to play in a year or two. He plays left tackle, and he's got the athleticism to play left tackle in the NFL. But he is going to have to learn some things in terms of hand technique, watching his weight placement and things like that. But he could be an interesting late round pick. One of the other ones I like, Al Blades Jr. is a cornerback out of Duke. His dad did play for a hot minute, 49ers back in 2001. I was like,
I was going to say Brian Blades, because Brian Blades was amazing.
No, Alan Blades, Brian Blades and yeah. Benny Blades, right?
They're the brothers. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I can't remember. I didn't see if he's related to them in any way, but his dad played at University of Miami and then went to San Francisco for a year. He was undrafted, played there for a year, I guess. So there we go. But anyhow, those are some of the names that at least I wanted to throw out there as people to be kind of looking at the back end of your draft. I might record something with Josh either later this week or early next week. Maybe we'll roll into a show or do as a separate standalone, but we'll put something out for you guys.
Before we move off the draft, so like last year we got Tucker Kraft in the third round as Packer fans, and that broke the third round curse. And something I saw on Twitter the other day, when you're talking about drafting interior or just offensive linemen in general, was something else that might break the third round curse, and that's Sean Ryan, who after a rough rookie year out of UCLA, right? Is that where he came from? Is it third round draft pick in 2020? He was right between I'm on the wrong page now. Sean Ryan came out of UCLA. He was right between Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and he was a bust in his first round. He didn't get out of the field. Big kid, 6'5", 320. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Ad, for getting in my way.
Yeah.
And so with everything else, and then on top of it, he got hit with substance abuse stuff in there. You know, he got pegged for performance enhancement stuff, which he claims I didn't know what I was putting in my body. And so last year he started coming around, and towards the end of the year, he actually was playing in games, John, if you remember, right?
Yep. No, he did. decently well down the stretch when we needed him in there.
He had one bad penalty in the San Francisco game that kind of made him stand out, which that's always the fear when you're offensive lineman, right? Is that you're going to make that one bad penalty. But yeah. I think that's part of the reason why Runyon was let go. Was because Sean Ryan was supposed to take the place of Runyon in the first place, and then they kept Runyon around because Sean Ryan wasn't working out. I think that might actually adjust how they draft offensive linemen going into the season, because I think that Sean Ryan, from what I read on a couple different places, that he's kind of on a mission from God to prove everybody wrong about him. So, which I'm all for it. The bigger the chip, man. If that chip's a manhole cover on your shoulder, yeah, you work it. Okay.
And confirming, Brian Blades and Benny Blades are the uncles of Al Blades Jr. Just so
there we go.
All right, and that's all we've got this week. We've given you. We've got a full hour in here for everybody, just to make sure we at least got you through this week. But
25 minutes of fluff.
Yeah, we had things to talk about. We had things to talk about.
We haven't had a good.
We got Benny Blades. We got Benito Santiago. Yeah.
We didn't have to rely on old Arby stuff.
We brought up Simmons, and we got Benny Santiago and Brian Blades, and we hit everything.
Yankees catchers from the 1940s that were like, what are we talking about here?
Any show that has Yogi Berra in it is a successful day. Just this, yeah. All I can say.
Hey, boo boo, where's my picnic basket?
All right, everybody, thank you for joining us for another wonderful week of Wisconsin and general sports talk at this point. We're glad to have you with us, whether you are in Wisconsin, across the United States, or around the globe. We're always happy to have you here with us. Remember to follow us on X, Mastodon, and Blue Sky. And remember, of course, that whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.